It's episode 100 of the iPhonography podcast. There's a lot of things to win, so be sure to listen to the whole episode because you're going to have to come up with some secret words if you want to win this stuff. All this and more. Stay tuned.
Look at you. You're a pro, man.
It's Monday, September 11th, 2023, and this is the iPhonography podcast, and it's finally here, episode 100. Hello, David. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Greg. How you doing today?
I'm doing really good. It's going to be a good show. It's got you, it's got me, and we have some company tonight. So I'm going to introduce our guests. First of all, we've got Mark Sadowski. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
How you doing?
Doing pretty good, man. How about you?
Oh, just top shelf right beside the peanut butter.
Oh, gee. You know what? Funny mentioned that. I actually just had some peanut butter right before this. And what's your brand?
Usually some healthy stuff.
I went for the hard stuff. I went Skippy.
Oh, well, you know, that's pretty good.
But say, do you go chunky or smooth?
I go smooth.
I go smooth.
If I wanted peanuts, I'd eat peanuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so we've got Peanut Butter Mark, and we've got, we also have with us Matt Hoffman. Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Really good.
Yeah, thanks for having me here tonight. This is an honor.
So, well, we're glad to have you. What do you say, smooth or chunky?
Oh, 100% smooth. And, you know, that saying is funny. I've heard you say it, you know, numerous times over the years. And in my house, the peanut butter is actually on the top shelf.
Now, that wouldn't be so you're the only one that can reach it, would it?
Actually, yes.
That's a good All right, man.
That's awesome. So in case you're wondering where this is going, yes, we do have Joseph Ferreira in the house. Hey, Joe, how is it going?
Good. I am so glad to be here hanging out with everybody. This brings back old memories.
It sure does.
Yeah.
I've been dying to do a show like this for so long, and I'm so glad that you guys could all be here for episode 100. We already discovered that we have no agenda, and that's just the way it is. Because I've said it before, Dave and I, when we plan our show, we fly by the seat of our pants. So that's exactly how we're flying tonight. And we're just going to talk about whatever comes up. And before we continue, Joe, smooth or crunchy?
Ooh, so I like both. I like Jif. You know, is it Jif peanut butter?
It's pronounced GIF.
Oh. Yeah, that's right. And
first cat of worms.
But if I have chunky, it's Peter Pan.
Oh,
fancy spancy.
Interesting selection.
That used to be my brand, but then my wife converted me.
And what did you say you have now?
I'm all Skippy now.
Skippy, that's right. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I don't think I told you guys my brand. It is all or maybe I did. It's also Skippy.
There you go.
Oh, I think you gave a thumbs up when Mark said Skippy. So yeah.
It's actually Skippy Natural.
Ah,
yeah. It doesn't need stirred though, so it's not annoying. Like the
oil doesn't collect.
Yeah, any. Like the stuff I get, you got to stir it because it's got the oil on all that. Oh yeah,
I may have to partake in that. As a Northeasterner, it might be something that I would have to look into.
Well, you do that and get back to us and see what you think.
There you go.
All right. So, so being episode 100, not only do we not have an agenda, but what we do have is some really cool things to give away tonight. And we're going to go, you know, as we go through the show, we're going to bring them up. And the way the listeners can win this stuff is you got to tell us, you got to send me, there's going to be different ways you can get the secret word to me in order to be eligible to win. And so the way you could do that is you can go to the podcast website and send the secret word through the contact form. And you got to put your email address in there or I won't know who you are. Or you can email me directly at greg@iphonography.ca. Or you can contact me via Facebook Messenger. You know, just send me a message and I can, I'll just answer back and then we can get a conversation going that way. So those are the three ways that you can enter to win this stuff. And what the heck, let's just start off with one of them right now. Mike James, my buddy in Australia, has the Smartphone Photography Club and he is giving away 5 discount codes for his club membership for 1 year each. So you get,
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is
it
pretty
his birthday?
Good. No, but I think I bet you it's Craig Ellis's birthday.
Mm-hmm. Is that joke still carrying on through this podcast?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Even on Threads. I saw him on Threads there and I on said that often just showed up. Put a sign up that says the bird is the word.
Have you ever thought about having him as a guest and just get his thoughts on that? I mean, we've been bugging him for close to what? It's been over 10 years.
10 years, oh, yeah.
Happy birthday to
him. No, I was going to say, I discovered him on Threads and I said to him, happy birthday, Craig. And he laughed and like he thought it was kind of funny. And he's kind of fun. He thinks it's great that it's still going. It's a running gag and he likes it. And he's okay with it. But
I will never let that go.
No, nobody will. No, it's birthday buddies for life. That one.
So. We'll be old and gray. And my last words will be happy birthday to him.
Yep, that's right.
Mark, what do you mean will be gray?
Oh yeah, yeah. What's with the will be? Unfortunately, your lights are on.
I mean all of us collectively.
Okay.
Joe, you still have some work.
Yeah. So to win this 1 year membership to Mike's Smartphone Photography Club, you have to send the secret word Australia because that's where he's from. So, you know, listen to the whole episode because we've got other things and you can get in on all of them. And if you want to try to win these things, you got to send the right secret word. And now here, there's just a little catch to this first one because he's given me 5 codes, but I've reserved one for a fella who has supported the show for, gosh, probably almost a year through the Buy Me a Coffee campaign. And as a thank you to him for his support, I'm going to give him one of these codes. Nice. And that's Ray Bezensky. So thank you, Ray, for your support. It really, really means a lot. And you are going to get a 1 year access to the Smartphone Photography Club from Mike James. So there's that. All right. So everybody knows what tomorrow is. Who's excited? Anybody?
Yeah. Fujifilm is having their summit tomorrow and they're going to announce the new GFX camera. It's pretty awesome.
Is that tomorrow? I thought that was Wednesday.
No, that's tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, so for real?
There is totally something to pay attention to tomorrow then. Oh, cool.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a medium format camera that with increased autofocus performance. So the rumor says.
I thought it was going to be a slow news day.
Oh, yeah. It's just going to be awesome.
Oh, cool. Well, I'll definitely be paying attention to the online chatter. Because I'm sure it'll be buzzing about the Fuji cameras for sure.
Well, it could break what's left of Twitter.
I mean,
yeah,
that's a low bar. Oh, they're also releasing their tilt shift lenses, so that's something else to be thankful for.
You know, well, awesome. By chance, are they going to be for X series cameras or just for the GFX?
It's just for the GFX from what I hear.
Well, I'm tuning out now.
And I bet you they raised the price by $100 too.
A little more than that.
Yeah.
But on the other end of the spectrum, anybody excited for what's coming up in the iPhone news tomorrow?
You know what? Greg, can you tell me what news is coming tomorrow?
There's an Apple announcement for the iPhone 15.
I mean,
you want details? Here's the most solid rumors they have.
The TLDR version, because I'm sure your audience has already heard this.
Are you looking? Are you more interested? You imagine the Pro, right? Not the non Pro.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Joe.
Yeah. No, I'm on. I'm listening.
Okay. No. I thought you were asking. No, because the non Pro 15 is going to get all the internals from the 14 Pro from last year.
As is tradition.
Yeah. And the Pro, new chip. So, of course, faster, better battery life, blah, 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 blah. Titanium instead of stainless. Yeah. So 10% lighter. So it'll be noticeable because they're going to make it thicker. Periscope lens.
I'm getting a heavier case, though, so it's going to negate that.
My case is going to be stainless steel, so.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the latest rumor with the periscope lens is either 5 or 6X only. So they're still going to be trailing Samsung's 10X.
Optical,
yeah.
Digitally, it'll probably have a little bit more reach.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
Let me ask you guys about that. So I know one of those Samsung phones, what is it, the S22 or something, has the 10X zoom.
Optical, yeah.
Yeah. So have you guys seen pictures from it? Like at 10X, are the pictures good? Or is it something you can make like an 11 by 14 print? Or, Greg, I don't know what that translates in your sizes, an A3 or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's the Europeans and the Australians. You have to worry about that. It's an 11 by 14 to me. It's okay, 11 cool. by 14.
Yeah. Okay. I heard anyone talk about printing it out, but when the S23 came out last year with the 10X optical, 100X digital.
Yeah, but I'm curious about the optical. I just want to know
what's the pictures the turned out. It's good, but I don't know if it's print out blow up good.
I've seen pictures from a Huawei P40 Pro at 10 times optical, and that thing is phenomenal. I would not hesitate for a second to blow them up. Compare that to the Samsung. I'm not 100% sure just how good the Samsung is, but there's a guy, his name is Patrika, and he's in a few of the Facebook groups that we're in and whatnot. And he's posting from his Huawei, and man, those are good. Like the quality is phenomenal.
Yeah.
If Apple's going to step up their game with any kind of zoom like that, that's the bar, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it's pretty high right now.
That's what I'm curious about. You know, like if the quality just isn't there, then like the reach is useless, in my opinion. So, it stands right now, I just feel like the telephoto lens on the iPhone, it's like something that I would use only if I really had to.
Well, The other thing is that they're going to up the rumor is up the telephoto and the ultra wide to the same 48 megapixel pixel binning that the main camera on the 14 Pro uses. So they're going to up the quality, and you know, even though it'll shoot in 12, it'll still be sharper, clear with the telephoto and the ultra wide.
Yeah. Like I know with the telephoto on my 14 Pro Max, it's my favorite camera on that phone. It does a pretty decent job. And I mean, when this thing came out last year, they said it had better low light shooting and all that stuff. Well, I mean, the reason is because it's capable of a higher ISO setting. I think that's kind of the meat and potatoes of why they're better in low light. But
also faster lenses. There are the main lens is what?
The main lens, I think, is f1.78, I think.
I thought it was down to 1.4.
No, they didn't. The aperture is actually not as good as the 13 Pro on the main camera.
Interesting.
Is it because of the...
it'll have a lot to do with the pixel binning and
that's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, so, and again, the higher ISO capability really helps too, because it takes longer before night mode kicks in when you're shooting in, like, you know, they say the end of the day or type of thing.
All right. So we got the telephoto periscope thing, which we've known about for quite some time. I mean, back in the day, we saw the patents for this. Apple made, you know, the blueprints for it, and we were, God, we've been wondering, I think, since the iPhone 7, if this was ever going to happen.
Yeah, it was like the 6 or 7 that we started talking about this.
Yep.
So, anything else that's coming?
All cameras, I think, are going to get the 48 megapixel sensor.
Yeah. And the one thing that Apple can hide that no one else can is what are they hard coding in with the chips, which will work on, you know, I hate to say AI, but, you know, machine learning AI.
Yeah.
For improvement that Apple will actually not just hard code, but actually hardwire into these chips that no one else can do.
Yeah, that's going to be the aha moment everybody's waiting for.
Yeah.
I heard that it's going to have an interchangeable lens mount. It's going to be called the A mount because Sony's not using it anymore.
And they do have Sony sensors in these iPhones.
Everything has Sony sensors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm also looking here too that they're showing that they're going to change it to a USB-C.
Yeah, USB-C.
Yep.
Yep. Thank you, Europe.
And the funny thing is that doesn't even come into play till next year. You know, the enforcement of that.
Yeah. Yeah, but they it now.
They might as well do it now.
Now the question is, everything's going to be USB, both the non-Pro and the Pro is going to be USB-C instead of Lightning. The question that I'm seeing people post is, will it be fast USB-C or would that only be on the Pro model? And not really for photographers, but if you're using it ProRes, which I don't do, but if you do ProRes, how long is it going to take that off? But if it's USB-C on the Pro and you make it as fast as possible, then it's a little bit more doable. Well, no, I just read from the 14 Pros thing here, and that's the main camera is 48 megapixel, 24 millimeter, f1.78.
Yeah.
And the optical stabilization.
Well, no matter what they announce tomorrow, it's very likely that I will get one.
Ah.
Nice.
Well, it's just, I'm due. I'm still
rocking the 11 Pro.
There you go.
I'm less due than Joseph, but
you're on the 12 Pro Max, Matt?
Yeah, I've got the 12. Yeah. It's actually the 12 Pro Max Ultra Plus.
Super duper.
the 12 Pro Max Ultra Plus Super Duper was a really good phone. I felt it was a pretty good upgrade to the 14 Pro Max, but it's obviously going to be an even better upgrade to this, whatever they come up with tomorrow. So,
yeah. There was rumor they were going to call it the, get rid of the Pro Max, just call it the Ultra. But yeah, apparently that may be next year. I'm thinking that's going to be next year.
Well, I heard they might have the 15 Pro in a smaller one and then the 15 Ultra in the bigger one. But the heck knows? Who knows? Yeah,
well, no, I think next year, because they're going to change the sizes next year.
And retooling and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next year will be like, you're almost talking a 7-inch phone next year.
Awesome.
For like the Ultra.
So what is the current on the 14? What is the biggest size memory that you have? Is it 1 terabyte?
Yes, it's a terabyte.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. And they're talking about going to a 2 terabyte possibly? 2 terabyte.
That's been mentioned, yep.
I heard a rumor that 1 was going to be the start, which I highly doubt.
Ooh, no, yeah. No.
Now, I can see 256. I can see, because right now you can get a 128, which is crazy. But
they'll probably keep the 128 in the regular 15 non-pro. And then they'll probably start the pros at 256 and go 512, mm-hmm. 1 and 2.
I think it's still going to be 128.
What's your current size right now that you guys are working with?
I got 256.
Yeah, I'm doing 256.
256. See, I have the 512, and I'm constantly running out of memory.
You do a lot of video, though.
Yeah, I don't use a phone like you do. You know, I mean, I use it a lot, but I don't. First of all, I hate video, so I barely ever shoot video. So I have that going in my favor. But I do actually take photos off my phone. I mean, use cloud backups and stuff. And then once, I don't know, I let photos accumulate for a while, and then I'll sit down for like a couple hours, and I use the image capture on my Mac to. Mm-hmm. Delete mass amounts of photos off my phone.
Yeah, I don't use, I don't do long videos as much as I do a bunch of short ones. Right now I've got about 1200 videos on there, and that takes up a majority of my, so if I'm looking at a 2 terabyte, it's going to be it'll be a while before I max it out.
Yeah.
Yep.
And for the average person who's taking photos, it'll take forever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like I shoot Pro Raw most of the time. But I have the 2 terabyte iCloud plan, which is actually shared with my wife, my son, and my daughter-in-law. Yeah. But none of those other three people take nearly as many photos as I do. And I've still got probably over half of that 2 terabytes left. And I've got pictures on my phone that I think the last time I emptied it out and started a new photos library was probably 3 or 4 years ago. And I've got, I don't know, 22,000 pictures on there, but I optimize storage on the phone. So they're the thumbnails or whatever. And if I want something, it'll download. But I've always got at least 100 gigabytes left on my phone at any time, even with the 200 plus apps I got on there. Of course, I got them to sideload, or not sideload, but offload when I'm not using them.
Yeah.
And it works for me anyway.
Yeah. I mean, kind of similar is that like Ruth takes a lot of pictures for her business, mm-hmm. and videos, and does stuff on TikTok and all that saved there. So I'm around halfway full. So I have around 127 gig used. I optimize also. So I got 32,000 photos and just shy of 2,000 videos. So I really
didn't say you had 32,000 photos on your phone.
Yes, I did.
Holy cow.
Like I said, Ruth takes a lot for her business stuff.
Maybe I share the iCloud library. Should I hang up right now? Because I'm not a real photographer. I have less than 2,000 photos on my phone.
Well, what does she do for work?
Well, she sells paparazzi jewelry. So she does product shots, screenshots, different memes she posts for advertising, stuff like that. A lot of her photos are like her taking photos of the of the jewelry we have downstairs too, so she can post on her board so people can buy it.
I know somebody who used to sell paparazzi jewelry too. That's
I've got 23,870 photos, 1,234 videos, 1,764 songs and 240 apps. And I still have over 101 gigabytes left of storage. So it does a good job at working with that storage as long as you do the optimization stuff.
Actually, I just found out the app that uses the most for me is Outlook. I have 30 gigs worth in Outlook.
Oh, wow.
Goddamn.
Outlook is a beast.
Oh.
Huh, you know what? I never like look at this stuff, but I have 800 songs, 95 videos, 1,969 photos, and 361 apps. You know, of which I use all the time.
Oh my word.
I thought I had a lot of apps.
You know what though? Like seriously, guys, recently, like I don't know, let's say maybe 2 months ago, I actually looked at my phone and was like, holy cow, I have a lot of apps. And I seriously went through every app and was like, do I use this or not? And I deleted, I'll bet you I probably had 400 apps on my phone because I deleted a whole bunch of apps.
Wow.
And just left the things on it that I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'll use that one, sure. But you know what, though? I think it was actually this morning. You know, I check every morning for like app updates and I just, right. And there was one for like the store GNC, you know, like that vitamin.
Oh, yeah.
Store, mm-hmm. You know, and I was like, why do I have this? I don't even shop there. Like, why in the world do I have this app on my phone? So I'll have to go back through and be a little bit more critical.
I got to do the same thing.
If you want something funny to listen to, look up Dale Jr.'s podcast. Whatever it's called. Anyway, Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s podcast. And it was like a week or so ago. And you can find it on YouTube. It's better to go to his YouTube channel, Dirty Mo Media. And him and his buddy and the guys in the studio got into like a 10 to 15 minute rant/discussion about what's on their iPhones, and it's hilarious. It's just, I'll put a link to it in the show notes. It's really funny. It's just funny listening to these guys. You know, they're rednecks. I mean, they've got the southern accents and all that stuff, and you just never would think that Dale Jr. would have a conversation about what's on his iPhone with these other guys. So it's pretty good. It's a good listen.
I got a question. So what we used to do in the very beginning with Tiny Shutter was we would find apps and they were groundbreaking. They were, it was like every week there was something coming out, and then it kind of flatlined, or the spike wasn't nearly as where it is back then as, you know, right now. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I've been out of it for a while over the last 5 years. What would you say is probably the app that you would say for photography that is like cutting edge? That's the thing that people are going after right now. You know, like we would have done with,
Snapseed.
Yes.
Oh yeah. That.
Dave, you
got one?
Not Snapseed. They actually took like a year to update anything. They just kind of left it there.
They finally updated it though.
Yeah, finally. Honestly, what my go-to for editing is Lightroom Mobile.
Okay.
And that's the non-paid version. So, yeah, I mean, there are certain things I can't do, like edit in layers. That you can do with the
raw editing or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. But that and for like kind of weird edits, if you want to do more in the artistic kind of abstract, I use Visionist, ArtCard, and occasionally Brushstroke. And the other thing.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
Another thing I want to mention was a photo room.
Photo room?
Photo room. And that photo room's really good for taking out the subject, and it does a great job automatically. And I don't pay for the this is a feature. I do not pay for the pro version, but you do get a good amount of options for like backgrounds. So really good for profile pics. Some of their really advanced stuff. Like I said, it's not cheap, the pro version. But it's some of the backgrounds are like really good, and it does an excellent job with cutting out the subject. In fact, Greg's favorite picture, which car was that again, Greg?
That was the Blue Caddy.
Blue Caddy. And I use Photo Room to give it, give the background the same tone as the car and blur it a little bit.
Yeah, it turned out really good.
Yeah.
It's my favorite picture that Dave's ever taken. It's really cool.
What about the native camera app photo app? Doesn't that do that too?
That's an iOS feature in general.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah.
Tap on this dog. I can copy him and put him.
What Dave's doing though is he's actually working with the image as a whole to separate the two, the front four, like the subject from the background, and then he can just change the background by itself, type of thing. So it's kind of like a masking feature, I guess.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Now, my favorite thing, like to answer Joe's question, what app stands out for me? It's Reheld. It's a long exposure app that you can take up to 30 seconds handheld, and it works amazingly well. It's really good. And I've seen, Reheld. And speaking of Reheld, we have some stuff from Reflex that they're giving away. So Reflex has three apps. There's the Reflex Pro camera. That's their camera app. I use that all the time now. I used to use Halide all the time, but I've been using Reflex probably for 2 or 3 years or so. It's on the home row on my phone. I use that I'd say 95 to 96% of the time. Anyway, they've got Reflex. They've got Reexpose, which is a long exposure app that shoots in RAW. So tripod mounted. And then they've got Reheld. So they got these three apps, and they're giving away three codes for each app. So there's 9 codes altogether. Nice. And for the Reflex stuff, if you want to enter to win one of each, so Reflex, the secret word here is, folks, is Reflex. Secret word for Reexpose, Reexpose. Secret word for Reheld, Reheld. So make sure you put those words in your correspondence to be eligible.
Are you
to
sure
win.
You want to use those words? It's your password.
Well, that way secure. I know which one they want. that way I know which one they want. Yeah, Dave just sent everybody that caddy picture.
Yeah.
In iMessage. That is cool. I like that. So anyway, yeah, so you want to win some stuff from Reflex. Those are the secret words. Those are the apps. And I got three codes from each to give away. So that's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Matt, is there an app that stands out for you lately? Like, I know you haven't been shooting a lot with your phone, but is there something that really stands out that, you know, since the Tiny Shutter days that you've kind of grown to really like or use a lot?
No. The short answer is
the short answer.
Nothing in the last, you know, few years has like really like grabbed me like the way, you know, those apps did, you know, five to 10 years ago or whatever. But I do have apps, you know, a handful that I still really like.
You used to be big on Mextures.
You know what? So for a while here, I kind of like even though I have that app like pretty prominent on my photo page of apps or whatever on my phone, I sort of like forgot about it, kind of got away from using it until very recently. I was like, oh, Mextures, you could do cool stuff with Mextures. So I'm back on the Mextures train as of very recently. I still love to edit in with Polar.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, I think the main, well, there's a couple reasons why. So I want to like Darkroom, like so badly. I want to like Darkroom. I think Darkroom is a fantastic editor. And actually, if you haven't tried editing video in it, so you can't, I don't think you can like cut video or nothing, but just edit for like color and stuff.
You right? think so? Yeah.
It's awesome. It's so awesome. Yeah. But here's what I like about Polar. So Polar has like, you go into the adjustments section and it has an auto button, and it never edits the way that I would want the photo. It does stupid things to sliders that I'm like, why did you slide it that way? That's the wrong way. Like, why would you boost highlights, you dumb app? You know, I want them reduced. And why did you decrease saturation in orange? Like, I don't want the orange decrease. Anyway, so it does stuff like that. But generally, I feel like it's like the easy button, and it gets you there like pretty quick. So like, yeah. I've used it so often now that I know, okay, I'm going to hit this auto button, and then I got to go and I got to fix the highlights, and I got to go into color, and I have to like resaturate orange. And I know the things I got to do, but there's so many things I don't have to do because it does a good job. Whereas Darkroom doesn't have an auto feature. You have to go in and adjust every little slider, and it's just tedious in my opinion. The other thing that I love about Polar is the masking function. It's freaking cool as heck. So first of all, it has like AI type features where it can recognize like the sky and people and stuff like that. And it does a good job of masking them. So if you just want to edit those sections, it's real easy. But if you're painting your own mask with your fat, fat finger, it does an amazing job of like just recognizing edges. Nice. I don't know how it does it. It just does an awesome job where you think like, oh, I'm going to be here forever, like masking in and then switching to mask out and like try to get that little section there. No, you don't have to do that. It just does it right. Like it knows what you want and it just does it. And it's super cool. So I still use Polar a lot. Actually almost always, to be honest with you. I do like Mextures. I'm still a big fan of Carbon, the app Carbon for black and white conversions. And they just had an update. I can't remember if it was yesterday or today, with some UI changes and some other bells and whistles that they added or whatever. And I haven't had a chance to play with it yet, but I'm excited to dive into that. I still really love the app Lens Distortions for adding like flares and sunbursts and all that kind of stuff.
And moons in front of the clouds. And
well, I don't do that. I literally only use it for like flares and like little like sunbursts through a tree or something.
Yeah.
And the reason I like it is because you have a ton of adjustability. You know, you can position things where you want and adjust the angle, and you can adjust like how far or shallow the light beams shine into the scene, and you can adjust the color, brightness, saturation, all that jazz. So you can like perfectly match it to your picture and make it look supernatural. Not supernatural like a ghost, but you know, very natural.
I don't know if you do that moon thing.
Yeah, like Peter Lick tried to get away with.
If it's good enough for Peter Lick, it's good enough for us.
Yeah. And then for shooting, you know, Greg, the Reflex apps, they're great. They really honestly are. I have them on my phone, but man, I am just a Halide guy. I still really enjoy Halide. I also use the native app, like, probably 80% of the time. And I actually do kind of a lot of editing now with the the Photos app as well, because I don't know, it's not bad and it's pretty easy.
Well, the Photos app is pretty powerful because, you know, in fact, there was a Photo Life magazine had a live thing on YouTube where, and I think you can just go back and look at it, I'm not sure, but they went through all the different settings or adjustments, I guess you could say, in Photos and explained how they work. And one thing I did not realize is that the brilliance adjustment will adjust for, you know, you can get, make it lighter or darker and it'll crunch things up, but it will never clip. So there's, you don't, you'll never clip the whites or the blacks with the brilliance slider, apparently. I've got a, they gave away, they had this PDF download of this thing that explains what these adjustments do. And if you guys want, I'll send them to you. And it just gives you a rundown of what they do. And it's kind of good to know this stuff. That way you can use these adjustments to your advantage. You know, the one thing that I wish Photos had was a histogram, because, you know, when I edit, I like to know, okay, am I clipping or am I not? And it's hard to do. It's hard to know when you're adjusting in Photos, because you can adjust the exposure up or down and you may start clipping, but you might not realize it. I mean, if you go, you know, overboard, yeah, you'll know you're clipping the whites or the blacks or whatever, but I don't mind clipping a little bit of the blacks. I just can't stand to clip some of the whites, because that's detail you won't get back. But anyway, but that's me.
I'm so glad that we're talking about photography. Otherwise, we would piss off a lot of people.
Well, I'm going to railroad you right here, because thanks to Matt, I have a new shirt idea. It says Dumb App.
Dumb App. That's good. That's good.
I want a shirt that says Dumb App on it.
Well, I bet that would sell.
You said it, Matt. Yeah, you said it was a dumb app, and so I said, hey, that sounds like
when I was talking about, yeah, okay,
yeah,
gotcha. Forgot. But let me mention one more blast from the past app that I still actually use. Nlight.
Oh
yeah,
yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, so every time I open it, the app has this pop-up message that's like, what the hell are you doing opening this app? Please stop opening this app and get one of our current apps, please.
Like Photo Leap?
Yeah, or whatever, yeah. But Nlight is still awesome. It has some filters or something. Yeah, let's just say they're filters that I really, really like. And then again, the filters have a ton of adjustability, and that's why I like them. So there's one in particular that I like to use on certain types of scenes, usually in the autumn, for autumn scenes, I use it. I just like the colors in it, but what I do is I actually go in and I, reverse the channels. So it pulls colors like in one direction and I swap them. And then to me, it looks perfect.
Cool.
Yeah.
I forgot about Nlight. I think I updated it one time and it became Photo Leap. I think that's what it turned into. So you obviously haven't updated it. Because I don't think it's available in the App Store anymore,
no,
is it?
It's not available. No.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there hasn't been an update for Nlight in probably years.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I still can use it.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah, it just doesn't like the fact that I'm using it still.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you talk about filters and editing and stuff like that, something else we got to give away is my buddy Shane Mostyn from Australia. He's a bloody legend, and he's got all these presets on his website. And I've got 5 discount codes for his presets. So the secret word, folks, is bloody legend. So you send that secret word to me and you can be up for grabs for the one of the 5 codes for his presets on his website. And he's got some that are great for like one touch editing for Astro and, you know,
his Astro photos are just amazing.
Oh yeah. They're like, oh, I mean,
Astro photos on the iPhone.
Oh God.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he does the Samsung as well.
But his Astro photos on the iPhone. I mean, he did it on the iPhone 13 when it first came out. Yeah. And he used another light source to kind of light the four light. I think it was a tractor.
Yep.
And he had the galactic core in the background.
Oh yeah.
And
it's cool stuff.
Oh yeah. The stuff he does,
his YouTube channel. There's a link in the show notes for his YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And I mean, even if you go to his Facebook group,
let's say it does help. This isn't 100%, but it does help. He lives out in the middle of freaking nowhere, Australia.
Oh, I mean, he lives where the dark is dark. Like it's he's in Southwest Australia. Either
dark or on fire.
Oh, it's dark, and it's so flat. It's so flat where he is. He says if you stood on a tuna can, you could see for miles. It's that flat.
Oh, wow. So that moonshot's amazing.
I did that. I did that with my phone.
And it's not even a Samsung.
and my father-in-law's telescope.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Totally fake.
But no, if you haven't seen Astro work done on a phone, check out Chain's channel and look at some of his videos. It's pretty amazing stuff. And I mean, I did one with my car. It was about a month ago. And
That's impressive, being able to take a photo with your car.
Well, yeah. Well, it's got this camera on it, you know. And
the backup camera.
Yeah. I just backed it up towards the Milky Way and put it in reverse and hit the button.
You just keep you know your what? Car in reverse and it does a long exposure.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the next article on Petapixel. I photographed an entire wedding using my car's back.
Oh, that's good stuff.
We have to recap that story because there's going to be a lot of people listening not understanding why we're laughing.
Well, that was funny.
Yeah, so but that. I understand that. But you know,
context, please. The best part of jokes is not giving the context.
Tell them about you and Keith.
Oh, it's very little to do with me and Keith and more to do with just, you know, back ever since the iPhone 4, you would have these pissing contests for, you know, who could do what with the iPhone. And the longest time it was, hey, I shot an entire wedding with the iPhone 4. And every iteration would have its own, you know, its own mile marker. And Keith and I, we actually did photograph an entire wedding using, I think it was, I had the iPhone 4 and the 4S just came out, I think. Yeah. Or it could have been the 5. I don't know. I don't remember. But I know I had the iPhone 4 and we were instructed to use the God, what was the app?
What was that app called?
Hipstamatic.
Hipstamatic, yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My god.
It was doing it was which, one of the
which,
first
which made a comeback. Which made a comeback again.
Oh yay. As you can see, well, I'm thrilled.
I didn't say I was excited about it. I'm just saying it's believe it or it's just amazing it's still around.
I mean, good for them. But anyway, we were to use that app and it was one of those trial by fires, almost literally, because our iPhones quickly heated up to cooking proportions, nearly, where like we were a half hour into photographing just the getting ready photos, and we already burned through half of our battery, And so it was like, all right, how are we going to finish this day by and have a full charge that will last? And Keith had brought like four iPhones with him. He brought his phone, he brought his wife's phone, and brought one of his kids' phones, and the bride had a phone that he was using. So he was able to switch between them. But I only had my iPhone and my iPad, and this is the iPad 1. So it ain't going to shoot for crap. And
well, iPhone 1 didn't even have a camera.
It didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. We actually had, I think it's somewhere in the house. No, the
iPhone 1 had a camera, not a good one.
It didn't even have a camera. Mm-hmm. I had that one.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the iPhone or iPad?
iPad.
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 All right. So I don't know what version of the iPad I had then.
Probably the second one was the first one with the, that had a crappy camera. But I remember the video the hype video for the iPad was you can take a photo with your phone and then move it over to your iPad editing showing on it, which is ridiculous.
So anyway, I was about to start shooting with the iPad and be one of those old ladies at this wedding when I realized I had my Mac laptop and I had my phone charging in there. And I'm like, huh. So I closed the laptop. I made sure that it was charging. Then I closed the laptop lid there, put it into my messenger bag, throw the messenger bag over my shoulder. And I was using this tiny little iPhone to capture the day. So now my laptop was my battery and I was able to go throughout the whole day just using that. And it was just the most uncomfortable thing, carrying this massive battery. And and we did it. And dare I say, we took more creative photos than the actual photographer that was shooting that wedding.
Right.
Well, hey, you know, it worked and they were happy, obviously.
And we got featured in Petapixel. So
there you go.
There we
Didn't ask for more.
Well, I could have, but there's a reason why I'm not a fan of Hipstamatic.
What about you, Mark? Is there an app that stands out now that you know?
I have gone back. Like, I used to use Snapseed and all that, but now I'm just using the native camera app more.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. It is a late day today. I use just my regulars. I love Slow Shutter Cam. That one is like my go-to app for slow long exposure photography. And I still use the Spectre app for the times that I don't have a tripod. It's it still works and it works really well. So I just go with what works. And then there is one app that I love a lot. And this was out before AI was big into messing with photos. And it's an app called ReMini. And this app will take a photo and restore it. And it will also, if you have a blurry photo of a person and you want that photo to be better, it uses AI to reconstruct. It's only for the face, unfortunately.
Yeah, it has to.
If you have a portrait, that's blurry, then it'll do a really good job. And it'll put detail back into the face. And I've restored a lot of old photos that my dad has using this app. And it will also colorize a black and white photo It does a lot of things. Mm. And
yeah,
I really enjoy it. And let me also add one of the apps that I used to love, and I still have it, and that's Camera Plus. Mm-hmm. I think it was Camera Plus 2 that I have on my iPhone. And I loved the company. It was they always did great things. But then they came out with Photon, and I was excited about Photon to see what was new. But then, I mean, the first thing that gets popped up is this page to sign up for a monthly, a yearly, or one-time only lifetime purchase. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. I photography isn't a service. Like, I was disappointed, and I never used the app. There's a free version that you can use, but why bother using the free version when I have the good one in Camera Plus 2?
Yeah.
So,
Camera Plus it's got a lot of good features in it, and I mean, you could shoot burst mode in RAW with that app.
Totally.
You know, like. So it's pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to use it a fair bit back in the day. And it was watching Jack Hollingsworth's videos that he did for the company. I think he did some for B&H Photo.
Yeah.
Featuring Camera Plus. And, you know, he helped them develop it, I guess, gave some input and whatnot. And, it's a great app. And speaking of Jack, the final giveaway.
Aha, I see what you did.
I had to work it in somehow. So Jack has done a couple of online courses for Moment. And his latest one is called Intentional Photography with the iPhone. And I took that course. It's fantastic. It's really good. It's a lot of fun to watch. He got together with John Gill from Scotland, I believe he is, and they went to Cape Cod, and all the footage is from around there, and it's just really, really well done. So I approached Jack to see if I can get a code for his course, and he got in touch with Moment, and you know, between the three of us all collaborating and talking, he's got a coupon code for his course, and the magic word, or the secret word, is Moment. So if you want to get in on the draw for his course, it's about 11 sections in it, and it's almost 2 hours worth of video, and he does a lot of good instructional stuff and whatnot. So so let me know if you want that.
Comprehensive.
It is pretty good. It's pretty good. And I want to tell you stuff about it, but I don't want to spoil it, so I'm not going to say nothing. But it's really good.
It's all good.
So yeah, the secret word is Moment, and what will happen there is whoever wins, I will put you in touch with somebody at Moment, and they'll get you started with the course. So that's how that one's going to work. So those are all the things that we've got to give away. I got everything in. I wasn't sure how I was going to do it, but I did. And I think it's some pretty cool stuff. So, and Jack, you know, when you talk about your phone heating up, when you watch Jack shoot, it's no wonder he's taken over 1 million photographs in 10 years with iPhones. On I don't know how many different iPhones he's used, but he's hit over 1 million. And it's just amazing watching him work. And the way the video work is done in this, like, it's like you're looking over his shoulder. It's really cool to see that guy. Well, I'd love to get together with him and shoot sometime, but I hope he comes to Canada because it's so expensive for me to go down there. But anyway, hey, we never really found out what you guys have been up to as far as photography goes. Like, Mark, you sent us a link today that was really, really cool. And you know, this doesn't have to be iPhone related. We're talking about anything here. you have just started a new, I guess you could say, series or whatever in your professional photography career. You want to tell everybody about that?
Oh, I mean, I've always done it, but I've never made it anything official. But I've started to advertise doing pet photography. Yeah. I love the little guys.
Yeah. Well, I went to that link that you sent us, and some of those pet portraits are just absolutely, well, they're all absolutely amazing.
And most of them are from engagement sessions. Like they would bring their, they brought their pets in, and, you know, it would be just a lot of fun. And so it made sense to try to make that into something a little bigger.
Yeah. And they would make amazing prints. Like I had a pet portrait done of our dog. Oh gosh, she was only a couple of years old at the time. And I just love the way it turned out. And, you know, I showed my wife these pictures that you in your gallery there. And she said, oh, why don't you do that with your phone? I just don't know if I can get a dog to sit still, you know, long enough to get a good picture.
To do portrait mode with a dog, I think would be easier than a DSLR because you could the iPhone isn't as loud, so to speak. It's not so much of a eyesore for the dog.
At
like waist level while focusing on the dog and just you know, click the button with your thumb and take the photo. And portrait mode has gotten better. I actually took a really good photo of my dog a while ago using portrait mode, and you know, I mean, it's not a DSLR camera, but it was good. So can't complain there.
Yeah.
Cool. So in addition to that, I'm still plugging away at the Fuji Love podcast. That's part of Fuji Love magazine. And it's while it focuses on people using the Fujifilm cameras, it's a lot of great interviews with professionals from all across the spectrum, whether you're a wedding photographer, a photojournalist. I've talked to people who do video work. I've talked to movie producers, directors, film photographers, anything that's tangentially related to Fujifilm. Basically you're qualified. So it's been a lot of fun. But as a little bit of announcement, speaking of doing some stuff, since we've been chatting about old times with Tiny Shutter, I am looking to bring back the old purple lady.
Nice.
The Tiny Shutter logo is a purple Wi-Fi guy.
Yeah.
And while I think the pause was good for the show, because at a certain point, the way I saw it, I mean, Tiny Shutter was built on this newfound thing called iPhone photography. It was the underdog. It was the everybody was proving themselves with the iPhone. And now we've come to a point where iPhone photography is just photography. Like,
yep,
people use it professionally all the time for like product placements. Like Dave's wife uses it for.
Yeah.
It's used in photojournalism. I mean, talk about, you know, trying to prove yourself with an iPhone photographing a wedding. People have filmed movies and got an Oscar nominated. It's like,
yeah. Well, Rick Salmon is out in the Oregon coast right now doing workshops with just his iPhone, you know?
Yeah. So what I want to focus Tiny Shutter on is just photography and the photography community that we had. And so I think after this that was in the summertime. After this iPhone announcement, I think we're going to start it up, and we'll probably talk about the new iPhone and everything, and then just kind of go from there. It'll be periodically updated. You guys are more than welcome to be guests on it. In fact, I'm praying on it. I think we'll be a lot more intimate. And rather than having like the huge panel, it'll be just one at a time, just to have some variety and have some good one-on-one time and see where it goes. I may have burned a bridge with the podcast, but, you know, it'll be good to start it up again and see where it can go.
I think it sounds like a great idea.
Thank you. Here's your money. You take Venmo, right?
There's money involved, man.
Oh, you're Cyloning, Matt.
We got the Cylon back.
I wondered if it was going to happen.
The memories.
I don't know if I've heard that since the Tiny Shutter days, to be honest with you. And usually it was me.
How about that's now?
Oh, that's better. Perfect.
Cool. What I said was, if there's money involved, I'm in.
What about you, Joel? What kind of work have you been doing with your camera lately? Anything?
So videos a lot. I'm still doing a lot of videos for my church every single week. And iMovie's my best friend. I use it a lot and do all of our video announcements and that. But also, going back to what Mark said, the iPhone is more predominant today than it was back when we started. And I saw it, I'm seeing it every year. So we take our kids from the youth group to what is called National Fine Arts. And what they have is they do everything from singing to playing instruments to photography and all that type of stuff. And so they have students from all over the US that come together, and they have different sections where they can do film photography, they can do digital photography, and they can do mobile photography. And so getting those kids interested in mobile photography is one of the things I get to do, because they go, oh, I got a phone, I can do this. How's this picture? I said, well, let's talk about it. Let's work on composition on all those things, because taking a picture doesn't mean it's a great picture. You know, they have these like, hey, I can do this. And now I get to say, all right, let's work on vision. Do you know what a still life is? Do you know what to look for when you're doing composition? And so so it's fun. And then they get to print it out, because they have to turn in a physical copy.
Nice.
They have to print it out. It has to be on a matte background and matte board. And then it gets displayed, and then they get graded on it, and they can earn scholarships. Yeah,
I saw pictures you put on Facebook about this stuff. It was either Facebook or Instagram. You put a bunch of pictures on where the kids were all standing there with all their photos and stuff. I'm pretty sure I saw them somewhere.
So,
and you failed them all.
Or no, maybe you just sent them to us. You might have just sent them to us.
I texted it to y'all.
Yeah, yes, that's right. Yeah, that was it.
But so with that, we have new generations that have never done film photography. They've never done digital photography. They are handed a phone, and then they get to take pictures with it. And so we're just starting to see where this is going. And even I have my son and one other, another one of the boys that they want to start doing, videos and creating, stop motion and all that type of stuff. And they can do that with their phone.
Just nice. A gateway to TikTok.
Don't be fooled.
Yeah. Yep. What about you, Matt?
TikTok.
I think I'm giving everyone the illusion that I don't do much photography anymore. And it's not really for a lack of taking pictures. It's more a lack of sharing pictures. I think if I went through and kind of, I don't know, curated a list of photos, you know, that I would want to share, it'd be like a mile long. I think that's kind of playing into it a little bit for me. I think I got like overwhelmed with like, I don't know, just the sheer number of places now to share photos and try to keep up with, you know,
it's Facebook. Getting to be too many, isn't it? Like there's a lot.
Facebook and Instagram are easy because, you know, you could cross post and, and it just kind of baffles me that I can't cross post to Threads yet.
I imagine that's coming though. I would imagine,
you know, and then with all the wackiness with Twitter or X or whatever, you know, I no longer have the ability to cross post to Twitter, which I used to be able to do.
Yeah.
But you know, for a while there, I was keeping up with Vero and kind of participating in some of their different hashtags and stuff. You know, the Monday black and white, I forget, it was Mono Monday and all that stuff. Yeah, I was really, really kind of into it for a little while, but now it's probably been like 6 months since I've been on Vero. You know, Glass, it's hard for me to like keep up with that because the engagement there for me anyway really sucks. And now there's that new one called Frames, which is a nice app, but it's this, you know, the same kind of deal. I don't think I'm gonna stick with it.
It's gonna be another day flash. It'll likely be around for a little bit and then go away.
Yeah.
They're still working out the bugs to that one.
Which one?
Frames.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Dave Flash, or they died years ago.
Yeah, but yeah, I still very much shoot, enjoy shooting. For whatever reason, summer is definitely a slow time for me for photography. I don't get as excited, and I don't know why that is, because you would think with all the green and, you know, flowers and everything that, like, This should be prime time to go out and shoot, but I don't know, for some reason I'm more attracted. Obviously autumn is, in my opinion, the best season. Yeah,
that is by far.
And then I love going out in the winter. Like, even if there's no snow and everything's like, I know that on this show or on Tiny Shutter and everything that we've complained about stick season and mud and gray and brown, but, I don't know. I feel like over the last few years, I've really been able to make the most of it here. And I have a photography buddy that lives like just a mile down the street from me, who actually found me through Mark's Fuji Love podcast. I happened to be a guest on his show, like, I don't know, a year and a half ago or something. And he heard the show and heard that I was in Ohio, and he reached out to me through Instagram. And then it turns out we live a mile apart from each other.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we shoot all the time in the winter, actually almost every single weekend, but in the summer we do different things. You know, he's heavy into like tournament fishing or something. And then I'm off on my mountain bike, or I have a couple bikes now, so I'm trying to make time to ride them all. And, you know, lots of different hobbies pulling me in different directions, but, I do have pictures to share. So hopefully you'll see, I say this all the time, hopefully you'll see an uptick in pictures that I'll be sharing. Cause I do like this time of year also, like this late summer. I just feel like there's more colors, like you're starting to get into early autumnish.
I think the light's a little warmer too, and that helps.
Yeah. And the around here anyway, all the fields and grassland type areas are like just full of flowers and really, really beautiful.
Yeah. Not so like here. We've had fall and we've already got a foot of snow outside. So, I mean.
It's looking pretty nice here. So I've been trying to get out. My camera gear comes with me on my work trips all the time. So I try to get out, you know, after work or you know, I look for opportunities, I should say. So I just quickly glanced at my camera roll on my phone and I'm like, oh crap, I have pictures from like May that I still have to share. I gotta catch up. I'm a little ways behind here. So you know, and I still shoot with the iPhone a lot. I would say it's probably 50% of my shooting. And then, you know, I have my Fuji cameras. Mark, I should say Fuji camera because I've almost exclusively been shooting with the X-T2 and the X-Pro 2 is collecting dust on my shelf here by my desk. But I really, really love shooting with the mirrorless cameras. I love shooting with the iPhone. A couple weeks ago or a couple episodes of your show ago, you guys reminded me of that DX01 camera that plugs into the iPhone. And so I immediately charged it up and it's in my car. It's ready to go. So I'm excited to go out and shoot with that thing because it's a fun little camera to play with. But that's pretty much what I'm doing.
Shooting, I gotta agree with you.
Sharing.
I gotta agree with you about the winter photography. I think it was a year or two ago that I was on my way to photograph a wedding up in the White Mountains, and I was heading up to Crawford Notch, and I was going up through Lincoln, which is a straight shot up 93, and then I head east. Into the White Mountains, and I made a stop at one of the New Hampshire has all these cool trails like that are right off the highway, and some are very easy to walk and some of them are challenging, and the Basin, this is one of the easier ones. I stopped, and Lincoln was going through a pretty big snowstorm. And my God, it was just like a total winter wonderland. It was awesome. And I posted some of these photos in our window here.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it opened up like a whole new set of photography that I can't wait to do more of. And it was great. And,
both these images are waterfalls, and I find that is my favorite type of shooting in the winter is waterfall stuff. I mean, I don't live in a place where we have mountains in the background and things like that. But if you know, there's some places around here that have, you know, rivers running and, you know, so, you know, some smaller cascades, even the big waterfalls and everything else. I just love shooting them in the winter too. And, last winter for me was such a mixed bag. We would get 3 feet of snow in 24 hours. So we've got a beautiful white winter wonderland. Well, then a week or so later, it would rain and it would be gone or mucky or dirty or whatever. So then the desire to photograph anything then is out the window. And then a couple of weeks later, we'd get another blast for a weekend and we'd have another white winter wonderland for a while. And then it rained again. It was so up and down last winter. It was just, it got to the point where it was depressing because I was almost afraid to go out in case it started raining on me or something. And then it just ruined everything. But
those winter wonderland shots are very difficult to grab because you really have to get it as it's happening to get the full fluffiness.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to get it before the snow plows ruin it and all this stuff, you know, like, you know, just before people start tromping through the woods and things like that. You almost have to be first out to get it.
Yeah.
And
it's all Hollywood lies.
Yeah.
All those Hallmark movies you see with the normally it's a woman going to the small town from her big city job, and the small town's this beautiful, picturesque little village with all the white fluffy snow everywhere. And anyone who lives around snow's like, it doesn't look like that.
And so much Christmas decoration, what are these guys even talking about
with snow?
Well, I was going to say it's either the Pacific Northwest or it's the new up above New England, you know, area where they're, you know, wanting to get that picturesque type. Like here, we don't get snow. We just get really cold.
Yeah.
Oh, don't forget Colorado. They don't want to be forgotten either. But yeah, the those Hallmark movies where they decorate their Christmases like so much lights that you wonder what their electric bill is.
Yeah, and they're out in the middle of nowhere, so you wonder what kind of power plant do they have nearby?
Nuclear.
Yeah,
that's why it glows so nicely.
Yeah. Anything that anybody else want to plug or bring up before we call it a night? Shaking their heads.
Check out, subscribe to Tiny Shutters podcast, in addition to this fine podcast, of course, but I would imagine that you're already subscribed to this if you're listening.
I'm excited for what the future holds for Tiny Shutter, and it would be really nice to see it come back. I think your vision for it, Mark, is pretty cool. It almost sounds like it's going to be a free for all, you know, anything photography related. And, there's always something to talk about with this stuff because it's always changing. And,
totally.
You know, so I am so happy that you guys agreed to come on tonight and celebrate this 100th show. I mean, it's only 100 for me, but, it's every 2 weeks. So it's every day.
That's a pretty big deal. So,
well, it's every 2 weeks, right? So it's taken me twice as long to get to this point than it did for Tiny Shutter, because it was weekly for most of the time, if not the whole thing, right?
We did over 300 episodes, but you know, then we pod faded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I pod shot it in the head. And now I miss it. Want it back?
Well, luckily, there's still a breath of life in there, and I love that little little shutter click thing that you put out there,
the heartbeat shutter click.
Yeah, about 2 weeks ago or so, and I thought that I heard that. And I thought, whoa, wait, what? What is this? So I thought that was pretty cool.
So that is from my iPhone 12 Pro Max, that shutter.
Oh, was it? And okay.
Yeah. And the funny thing is that I use that shutter sound for the Fuji Love podcast. And I've never told anybody that it's the tape from the iPhone.
Oh, well, it's out now.
Keep it a secret, guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I already tweeted it. Sorry.
You gave me the X.
Matt just shot Fuji Love in the head.
Yeah. Petapixel's already running a story. Sorry.
Oh, man. Well, Mark, tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find me on the Fuji Love podcast, soon to be the Tiny Shutter podcast again. And you can find me on Instagram. I am at Mark Sadowski, Mark with a C.
Okay, and Matt, how about you?
All right, let's be real. The best place to find me is Instagram. You can check me out there at M Hoffman Photo.
Alrighty, Joe. Nice.
Instagram for me, but it's Instagram at Joseph Ferreira, but it's been like 2 years since I posted anything. So I think I need to get on the ball and re-download the app and start posting some things.
Well, hopefully you can get back in. Hopefully that's not too hard to re-sign in. Some of these things are bit of a nightmare.
They will welcome you in. They want your data. They will definitely you in.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah.
David.
Yeah, you can find me on almost all social medias, ProfPod, except for TikTok, where I'm ProfPodPGH. And on Facebook is Dave Podner Jr.
Alrighty. And you can find me, but probably the best place would be to go to about, or should I say about, .me/McMillan. Me and my Canadian accent. So, you know, all my links are there. You can find me. You know, the podcast is at iphonography.ca. And don't forget to send the secret words. Make sure you write them down as you were listening to either the podcast website on the contact page. Email me at greg@iphonography.ca or send me a private message on Facebook Messenger. And I'll make sure I tabulate all the names. And I'm going to give this until... I'm going to say Saturday at midnight. And the reason for the timeline is because some of these codes have expirations on them and I want to make sure people get them before they expire. So, nice. You got till Saturday, whatever the date is at midnight.
Eastern. 16th, September 16th.
Thanks, Dave.
Just in case anyone's getting this late or, you know, it's in their queue. So,
and that's Eastern Standard Time, because I know we have listeners from all over the world. And in some
Craig,
places,
you got around 3 minutes.
Hey,
Craig has around 3 minutes to answer.
Right. But episode 100, it was a lot of fun. And I can't thank you guys enough for coming along and joining Dave and I. And we'll have to do this again sometime. If we ever hit 200, maybe we'll do it then. I don't know. But
I have good vibes.
Yes.
Me too. Right on.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. And we'll see everybody in the next one.
Bye-bye.
Glad you did that.
Yeah.
I almost forgot. So many inside jokes. Nobody gets it. So what happened was throughout this whole show, you probably noticed that my image quality went from really good to really bad. And now it's really nothing because I turned off the camera. I found out that after about a half hour of recording, my camera started giving me the overheat sign.
Isn't it supposed to be like a vlog camera?
It is, and it's
it's not very vloggy.
Alrighty, Dave, you ready?
I am ready, and you know what? Since we got the group here, I figure I'll pick them up and have them on camera. If we get Leo up here.
Yeah, why not? Why not? The star of episode 247 of the Tiny Cheddar Podcast.
You remember the number?
I do.
Okay. You good boy.
Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3. It is Monday, September 11th. One, two, three. I should almost get Joe to do this.
Like the good old days.
Yeah. I should almost get Joe to do this. You know that? Are you game?
I could do it. So, all right. Just tell me. So, you know, September.
Wait, this isn't Tiny Shutter, though.
No, right. No.
I know, yeah.
But you could say that you hijacked the iPhonography podcast.